and welcome to another edition of Vidgens with me, Yudali Wickham Ashby. And today I start out with a little sadness, but at the same time, I want to acknowledge and celebrate the life of Roseanne Foster Vaughn. So today I will play some excerpts from her celebratory funeral service, which took place on Tuesday, October the 19th, and a brief excerpt from conversations she had, as well as two beautiful songs. So I'll start off with a song that represents the spirit and life of Roseanne Foster Vaughn, whom we lost earlier this month. Roseanne Foster Vaughn was born on the 9th of August, 1968, and I met her in the 1990s when she joined Barnard. And we became, along with Gladwin Rock and several others, a very forceful team advocating, representing, and truly lobbying for the rights of persons with disabilities. I have many fond memories of walking all over Barbados with Roseanne and Gladwin especially, attending various meetings and allowing our voices to speak and represent people with disabilities in this country. So I'll share with you a song by Patricia Padmore Blackman, one of our colleagues within the disability field as well.
There is a place I call my own, where I can stand by the sea and look beyond the things I've known and dream that I might be free. Trees gliding gently on the breeze. I wish that all my life I'd be without a care and a flying free. But life is not a distant sky without a cloud, without rain, and I can never hope that I can travel on without pain. Time goes swiftly on its way. All too soon we've lost today. I cannot wait for skies of blue or dreams so long that life is true. So life's a song that I must sing, a gift of love I must share. And when I see the joy it brings, my spirit soars through the sky. Life has taught me how to fly, for now I know what I can be, and and now my heart is flying free. For now I know what I can be, and now my heart is flying free.
After that beautiful rendition, I will now share a short clip of an interview Rosanna Tudor, the operations manager at the Barbados Council for the Disabled, conducted with Roseanne only recently as she worked on the wheelchair project at the Barbados Council for the Disabled. So I'll just share a very short clip, allowing you to hear the beautiful voice of Roseanne Foster-Vaughn.
Hi everyone, today we are with Roseanne Foster-Vaughn, vivacious Roseanne Foster-Vaughn. Roseanne is our project coordinator in the Barbados Council for the Disabled, and she's also responsible for the wheelchair clinic. This afternoon, Roseanne's going to just have a conversation and enlighten you as to how we restarted the wheelchair clinic after COVID, and she's going to also give you a little insight as to how we started the wheelchair clinics. So, over to you, Rose.
Hi, Roseanne. Thank you so much for having me. The wheelchair clinic started about in 2016. And did you describe the last days instead of into the whole container of wheelchairs and walkers and keys to us? And that is where it started. We've had a long journey. We have distributed over 400 wheelchairs to the Barbadian public. But unfortunately, we were caught by COVID when we had our second shipment donated last September. We've tried to reopen the clinic. And I should say we have a new coordinator in myself. Maria Holmes Ball, she used to be the coordinator, and she did an excellent job. So now, with me taking over, I have to follow in her footsteps.
But Rose, you have had quite a bit of experience working alongside her as well.
Yes. Prior to me taking this position, I used to assist her in terms of the administration of the wheelchairs. I would usually take requests, we would computerize them, and when we had enough persons, we would then call them up and schedule them for a date and a time to come, and we measured for the wheelchairs. I should stress right here that yes, the individual needs to come to us in order to be measured, because we don't just give a wheelchair, because if it is too small, the occupants get their thighs to be rubbing against the side of the wheelchair. And when chores, or pressure chores as we call them, can begin to develop, and we don't want that. If the person is too big, when the person that is assisting them is like going around corners or going down ramps or whatever, we occupy variables of fall furniture. We don't want that either. So that's why we stress the importance of being a good production.
No. Roseanne was very diligent, very determined, and passionate about whatever task she did. If you called her and asked her to assist you, sure. It was always a willing spirit and hands and feet to give you that support that you needed at that moment. So I want to say thank you to her mother, Barbara Foster, her sister, Pearl Yearwood, and her brother, O'Neill, for helping to nurture and build the woman that we came to know and love as Rose. She represented us well, and she certainly gave 100% of herself to every task she did, very committed. Through her efforts, Barnard was able to work with the late Wendell Smith to produce a play, To Lead a Normal Life. Then later in the 90s, she was one of the hot models, or I should say the star of our first concert, Sunshine Inspiration, where she modeled some sexy outfits and had the crowd just rocking. So this next clip again speaks to her passion, her thoughts about disability in Barbados.
Being a woman with a disability, you know, people think that we shouldn't be able to see in public. It was years ago when if you enter a village or a district, you would never know that there's a person living in a house that has a disability.
Yeah. Back in the day, I know most people who had disabilities, you would not normally see them outside.
No, they
would just be inside Ben Reardon, and visitors would come in.
Yeah, and you would never know. And the people that live at the house would never see that they had a person living there with a disability.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank God all of that has changed. I think we have arrived.
And I believe Roseanne is right. We have arrived at one destination, and we need to go to the next destination. So we have a bit more openness by our families, parents, grandparents, and other relatives to acknowledge that they have members with disabilities. And what we truly need to see happening at a larger scale is the love, support, and encouragement for these members with disabilities within the families to move themselves as well to the next level. Our parents need to rise up and really lobby and advocate more strongly for the rights of their children to exercise full citizenship in Barbados. Well, let's have a deeper look and insight into who Roseanne Foster Vaughan was as we hear the eulogy presented by Patricia Taylor.
What counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived. It is what difference we have made to the lives of others that will determine the significance of the life we lead. The words of Nelson Mandela. Roseanne Yvette Foster Vaughan's light flickered to life on August 9th, 1968, to Stephen and Barbara Foster. A breached birth which resulted in an oxygen deficiency to the brain and cerebral palsy, determined Roseanne's mission in life as a powerful advocate for persons with disabilities and an inspiration for the disabled and the able-bodied. Blessed from early with an indomitable, fiercely independent spirit, Roseanne overcame many obstacles in early childhood, and finally she walked at age 5. Roseanne started her school journey at Happyvale, Montessori, before moving on to Charles F. Broome Primary and St. Leonard's. Her pursuit for knowledge and personal growth and development was insatiable. And hence, she enrolled in courses in marketing at the Barbados Community College and business administration at the UWI Open Campus. Rose entered the workforce at the Workshop for the Blind as assistant to the manager. Even though it was a short 6-month stint, it yielded much fruit, as it was there she met her future husband, Roger Vaughan. Roseanne moved on to the Barbados Workers Union for 8 years as the accounts clerk. She has always spoken highly of the support and encouragement she received from then Secretary General Sir Roy Troutman. Leaving the Barbados Workers Union for the post of project officer at the Council for the Disabled meant that Rose had to relinquish her post of vice president of the council, but more importantly, she had to take a pay cut. I vividly remember how she wrestled with this decision, as she was well established, accepted, and respected in her position at the union, and many whose opinion she sought, and those who decided to offer an unsolicited opinion, were of the view she should remain in her stable job and continue as vice president of the council. But Roseanne was never one to stick to safe and secure. Her primary concern and chief motivating factor was not the paycheck, but where she could make the greatest contribution to the advancement of persons with disabilities. That was the fuel that recharged and energized her throughout her life. She made her decision, and the rest is history. And as Roseanne's journey continued, her mantra remained the same: to be a better advocate for persons with disabilities, to use her knowledge, skills, talents, and voice to bring about change in education, transportation, social services, infrastructure, housing, employment, inclusion, training, equality, welfare, business development, anything. Anywhere and everywhere, Roseanne's voice could be heard passionately advocating and fiercely fighting for the rights, the empowerment, the uplifting of persons with disabilities. I was honored to sit on many committees with Rose. I was extremely proud of her high work ethic, her depth of knowledge, and how meticulous she was to ensure everything was just perfect. 19 years ago, Roseanne married Roger Vaughan, a union which produced a strong, forceful, effective team, and together they fought a vigorous fight for persons with disabilities. Roger remembers his life partner as ambitious and very, very brave, with a healthy dose of perseverance, or, depending on your perspective, stubborn determination. No better an example of this can be seen than last year in November. After many years and numerous attempts, she finally passed the test and was rewarded with her driver's license. During those years of trials, her self-confidence took a bashing, but battered and bruised, she never gave up. Many said if they were in her position, they would have given up. But Roseanne set herself a goal, and she was deservedly rewarded. Indeed, after one particularly negative response, Roseanne put pen to paper and sent off a letter to no less a person than the Honorable Prime Minister Mayor Mortley, citing discrimination. Roger put it rather nicely when he said, with a rose, you will always get thorns. And Roseanne was a beautiful rose. And we could find her thorns in that stinging tongue and poison pen. It therefore was no surprise that a prompt response and action was received from the Prime Minister. There was a beautiful balance to Rose's life. There was the serious side of the advocate, and then there was the lighter side. Roseanne was a live wire. She was bold. She loved to travel. England, Portugal, Germany, Sweden, Oregon, New York, Canada, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago were but a few of the places she visited. If I mention hiking, I am sure you would never see the connection with Roseanne. And no, she was not merely a spectator. Roseanne, on her reliable scooter, participated in the NUSB annual hike with the Barbados Hiking Association. Indeed, in their tribute to her on her passing, the members spoke glowingly of her beautiful spirit and positive attitude. They reminisced on the fun they had and how much they learned from her, even on the occasions when Roseanne took a spill on rocky terrain. They were concerned until they realized that she was laughing uncontrollably at herself. Yes, she loved to laugh. And her face, especially her eyes, would light up whenever she laughed and clapped her hands in total joy. And if you think hiking was adventurous, naturally, you would not know that Roseanne just had to try her hand at swinging from the trees, zip lining. This is an activity many able-bodied persons would never attempt. Roseanne laughed her way through it. She also took part in the Nation Fun Ride, queuing the community, and a bodybuilding competition. Yes, the fashion diva did it all with style and class and bucket loads of fun. Roseanne's strong spiritual foundation was built in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where she was baptized. She was a pathfinder and active member of the Sabbath school. This strong grounding in the church life, nurtured and fostered by her mom, Barbara Foster, provided Rose with the faith, resilience, and mental toughness to handle the challenges associated with her disability, and later in life, being diagnosed with lupus and arthritis. Her strong family support cannot be overstated. In addition to her mom, her sister Pearl was forever by her side, caring, assisting, encouraging Roseanne's rock for 53 years. We know without a shadow of doubt how grateful Roseanne was to be born into your family. We would also like to say a big thank you to her work family. I saw and experienced firsthand the friendship, camaraderie, professionalism, mutual respect among the staff of the Council for the Disabled. We thank you for providing the environment which allowed Roseanne to express her creativity and perfect her IT, project management, and a wide range of skills. We appreciate the opportunities given for her to represent the Council at conferences and workshops in Barbados and overseas. Thank you, President Kerri-Ann, Operations Manager Rosanna, Emily, Gaylene, Randy, Jemison, Rupert, Cheryl. Thank you all. We also take this opportunity to thank the community of persons with disabilities and the various organizations, special mention, of course, to Barnard and NUSB. When asked by an interviewer about her tough spirit and dogged determination, Roseanne's advice was for persons to stop focusing on the physical disability and see and value the inner strength of the person. When life threw lemons her way, she made the best tasting lemonade. When life sent down bouncers, they were dispatched with great disdain to the boundary. She was on a mission and she took no prisoners. Eventually, as Roseanne was preparing to enter the battlefield once again, our Lord looked down with grace and mercy, for he knew how she labored tirelessly, how she fought fearlessly, how she agitated constantly over disability issues, how her passion sometimes got the better of her. All these our Lord witnessed. And then on the 6th of October 2021, he opened his arms and he whispered to her, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will close as I began with a quote from Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom. "It is what we make out of what we have, not what we are given, that separates one person from another." Thank you, Roseanne Foster Vaughan, for the life you lived and loved as you walked this earth, and for raising the bar for the disabled and the able-bodied to stellar heights. Rest peacefully, Rose. Rest peacefully. Thank you.
Now, that spoke volumes to the type of woman Roseanne was. And I want to truly acknowledge her husband, Roger Vaughan, for the love and support that was evident in their relationship. So, at this point, also extend my condolences to Roger, Roseanne's mother, sister, brother, and all her family members, because Roseanne was about family. She loved her family and she embraced them as they embraced her. To all her friends across the world, we too want to extend our condolences to you and pray God's strength uplift you at this point. Now, as we wind up the program, there are so many wonderful memories I have shared with Roseanne, dining out together, partying. I remember going to Barris Hammond concerts with her and just having a good time, enjoying the music and just enjoying the fun of listening to some of the groupies, as you would say, just screaming and behaving bad towards Barris Hammond. And I know that one of her favorite artists was Barry White. She just loved that sexy tone of Barry White. And she loved music, which is another passion we had in common. And I just am happy that I knew Roseanne and we shared love and gave support to one another throughout our adult life. So here is the final song as we remember fondly Roseanne in all her glory. We'll hear Mr. Elvis Maloney just singing this beautiful rendition.
Impossible dream to fight the unbeatable foe, to be unrightable wrong. To love, you're in chase from afar. To try, when your arms are too weary. To reach, the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right, without question or cause. To be willing to march, march into hell for a heavenly cause.
So until next week, do take good care of yourself. And as I always encourage you, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. I want to say thank you as well for all those individuals who greet me and share the fact that they enjoy listening and learning through visions. And I also want to thank you for the ideas and the various comments that you share with me. It is greatly appreciated. So until next week, remember you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom on 1-246-430-7300. And you can go onto the new VOB929.com website. And I must compliment Starcom Network. It's very much more accessible to persons who are blind and visually impaired. And the layout is very easy to navigate. And you will find the Vision podcast there where you can listen to this and past episodes. So until next week, ciao.